not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
All right, welcome to the Wednesday, May the 9th, 2007 edition of The American Awakening with your host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. We've got what I think is going to be a really good show for you today. I've got, I'm going to make a few announcements first, and I'm going to keep you in suspense. You know, I just have to ask you, though, do you ever just take a walk outside and you take a deep breath and you go to smell the trees and the fresh grass and so forth and you suck a bug up your nose. I'll tell you, that's the first time I did that. That's an experience. Anyway, let's get to the announcements here. We won't elaborate on that any. Okay, for those folks that want freedom of fascism, remember all you have to do is drop an email to Bobby at freedom, 777 at safe-mail.net. Again, that's freedom, 777. At safe-mail.net. And make sure, once you've seen the movie, share it with a friend. Share it with somebody who hasn't seen it, because the reason I promote this is just in case anybody gets called for jury duty, they can go in there on a tax case and vote not guilty. And speaking of that, I've got a really, really interesting guest coming up tomorrow. We're going to talk about just that, because at RBN, we're about solutions, okay? I've got a guy coming on the show by the name of Joe Saladino, and he's got a website, which I'm not going to tell you about today. I'll tell you about tomorrow. But this guy is right in the thick of the battle, challenging the courts and their jurisdiction, and it'll be a really good show, because I was on the phone with this guy today, and I'm telling you, he had some valuable information for me, and I was taking notes left and right. So you want to make sure you don't miss that one. Let's see, another announcement. Don't forget, we've got a pledge drive going, and I'm going to read off some of the pledges that have come in and thank these people for sending in their donations. Remember, we're on a pledge drive because we've got a lot of things going here. We need to get over the hump, folks, okay? We're not there yet. Yes, this station is waiting on a settlement from the insurance company, but we still have bills to pay, and we're still behind, and we need your help, okay? You guys are starting to make a difference out there, but I'm putting it out again because we can't stop now. You need to dig down, grab some extra money, take your change jar, go cash it in, and send it into RBN. You'll be doing a real good thing. But I'm going to read off some of these names of people that have sent donations in yesterday and today and thank them. Joy, and it doesn't say where she's from, $50. Thank you, Joy. Leanne or Lyanne, I'm not sure. I think it's Leanne, $100 from Florida. Thank you. Thomas, $70 from North Carolina. Eddie from Texas, $100. Thank you, Eddie. R.R., I guess I should say Hernandez because the first name isn't said. $30 from Austin. Thank you. William, $100 from Tennessee. Charles from Pennsylvania, $300. Ross in Minnesota, $50. Timothy from New York, $100. John from California, $50. Dayton in Los Angeles, $5. Judy in New York, $50. Thank you, Judy. George in Arizona, $200. Kent Murphy in West Virginia, $10. And James Woods in Pennsylvania, $100. No relation to the actor James Wood, I would assume. Anyway, again, I want to thank all of those listeners who have sent in donations. And I want to mention one other thing. For all of you who are sitting there that have not yet sent in a donation, I'll tell you, I've been on that side of the radio or the internet, and you have this feeling that, oh, man, I should, and I don't feel real right. But once you've sent in your donation, guess what? You feel good. And you've already sent it? You don't necessarily need to send another one. We'll be back after the break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Got a couple of other announcements, and then my special guest will be coming up. Stick with me.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. And before I go to my guest, I got a couple other announcements I want to make. And folks, again, I want to announce real quick, make sure that you give what you can. Now, I know there are people out there, as I mention on my show every day, that are business owners that could afford to give $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, some even $5,000. We're not over the hump. We need some pretty decent numbers to catch up on these bills. But if you can't and you can send 25, 50, 100, that's fine. Go ahead and send it. I'm telling you how good you'll feel after you've sent it in, okay? Because you know you're doing something good for all of America. And it makes you a great patriot because we do bring the truth. Okay, let's move on. Another announcement I have. Now, I want to remind people, I've told people numerous times on my show, do not buy gas at Exxon or Mobil, because these are the people who are the head of the pack, and the rest of the gas and oil companies follow suit as far as raising their gas prices. If we boycott these people, do not purchase any gas from them, ever. Buy your gas at Shell or Citgo or whatever, but don't buy any gas there, okay? If we do that, we're going to make an effect on keeping the gas prices down, because there's rumor out there that the gas prices are going to go to $4 and higher a gallon by summer. So we want to move on that. Also, don't forget that there is actually a gas boycott, a total boycott. It's called the Great Gas Out on May the 15th. We want to participate in that. Make sure your tank is full and don't purchase any gasoline on May the 15th. It'll make a statement. And we know that what we're doing here, getting the word out, and I congratulate and I appreciate and I thank the listeners out there who do this. We know we're making a difference. Okay, moving right along. Now, I wanted to talk a minute. I got an email from a campaign guy in Ron Paul's campaign that wanted me to mention this, and I think it's very important that we do, because talking about making a difference here. Remember, Fox News wasn't even going to allow Ron Paul to participate in the debates on the 15th. Ron Paul went into this debate on MSNBC with 1%. And there were six other candidates that were in that percentile range. And after the debate, and I'm going to read this off to you folks, he went from 1% to number 1. I got a press release out of Arlington, Virginia, May the 8th. Congressman Ron Paul's support has soared since the first Republican presidential debate. Conservative commentator John McLaughlin, host of, quote, the McLaughlin Group, unquote, cited Ron Paul as having given the best performance of the debate. In fact, the Paul's campaign's apparent strength has many other pundits scrambling to explain it. Paul's campaign officials offer the following examples of the candidate's rising success. Since the debate on May the 3rd, Ron Paul, number one, handily won two post-debate polls posted by the event sponsor MSNBC. Number two, placed a close third at 18% in a post-debate poll on the conservative Drudge Report. Number three, he won an ABCNews.com online debate poll with 84%. He won a C-SPAN online GOP candidate poll with 69%. He became the third most mentioned person in the blogosphere, beating out Paris Hilton, according to the reputable Technorati.com. Produced a YouTube.com video that was ranked the eighth most popular overall video and the most viewed political video. He was featured by popular demand on the front of Dig.com. He generated so many bulletin posts on MySpace.com that the site owner's News Corp blocked all additional posts about Dr. Paul. He became the most searched term on Google and Yahoo. He saw a quadrupling of daily visitors to RonPaul2008.com. Hey, you know what? These figures speak for themselves, said campaign chairman Kent Snyder. Ron Paul has quickly become a strong contender for the GOP nomination because of his powerful message of freedom and limited government. And you know what, guys? This is our hope for the future, because I'm going to get into some stuff in a little while that talk about what the New World Order is doing in moving forward with their agenda. This guy will stop it. This guy votes on the Constitution on every issue, and we need to get him in office. This is our hope. Okay, let's see. Moving right along here. What else have I got? Okay, I forgot to mention to you. My guest today is none other than Jim Mars, who has a new book out called The Terror Conspiracy. And I was perusing around in Jim's website, and I noticed, you know, that literally I could pick a subject to go into in this guy's encyclopedia of information. And I wasn't really sure. I was kind of, you know, dancing around trying to figure out what to talk about. And I noticed he's got a new book out called The Terror Conspiracy, which ties a lot of things together. And I'm going to go into that today. I'm going to have Jim up for the whole 2 hours. I'm going to have the phone lines open, so if you have a question or a comment, you can call in. But I would strongly advise you to get a copy of Jim Marr's new book, The Terror Conspiracy. I haven't read it yet, but after I read the preempt to it, I'm going to get a copy myself, because those of you who know me know I go down the rabbit hole on many different issues, and this looks like something that is a must-read. He's up? Okay. Without any further ado, let's go to Jim Mars. Jim, are you with me?
Howdy.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
Good. How's the weather down there?
Oh, it's kind of cloudy and humid, but warm and not bad. We've had lots of rain. Everything's green. It's kind of nice right now.
Well, you know, I was just mentioning to the listeners, Jim, I went in to peruse and run on your website, and I was trying to, you know, look at a topic or two to talk about or whatever, and I ran across this terror conspiracy you mentioned. This new book just came out, I guess?
Right. It's only been out, a few months.
A few months, okay. And the subject content of that book, tell us about it, Jim.
Well, the title is The Terror Conspiracy, Deception, 9/11, and the Loss of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's all kinds of websites and all kinds of stuff out there about all the questions that are still unresolved about the attacks of 9/11, but very few have tried to put all that into a context And when you put it into context, it becomes even worse than we thought. Because, you know, the basic things are just there. In every instance, ever since World War II, we've had probably the most sophisticated air defense system in the world, and thanks to the Cold War, it was just top-notch. You know, we were told repeatedly in the 50s, 60s, 70s that not one Russian bomber was coming across the North Pole that we weren't going to know about it and be on top of them, right?
Right. That's NORAD, right?
That's NORAD, mm-hmm. North American Air Defense Command. And yet, on the morning of 9/11, we've got four hijacked airplanes, and they go off course. The FAA is screaming for, hey, give us some help. NORAD's in the middle of war game exercises. There's only four fighter interceptors to defend the entire East Coast. All the rest of them went up into Canada on Cold War scenarios, even though the Cold War has been over for 10 years. You know, what's going on there? You might recall in 1999, the golfer Payne Stewart and some people took off, and they had an oxygen malfunction, and they either passed out or died, and their plane just kind of kept flying on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
But it, excuse me, it finally went off, you know, deviated from the planned course, and it was like 14 minutes they had interceptors all over it, okay? So what the heck happened on 9/11?
Well, let me insert something here, and I'm speaking as a pilot now because I am a pilot.
Yeah.
If I file a flight plan and I'm going to fly from point A to point B, if I deviate from that route, and I do not call in with whatever reason I have for deviating from that route, after, you know, reporting my altitude and so forth, yes, within 15 minutes, there would be fighters on my tail.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And yet no one has been demoted or fired or even called on the carpet for what happened on the morning of 9/11. It's when you throw in the war game exercises, you throw in – here's one that gets me. Michael, answer me this. How is it possible for four sets of Arab hijackers with little or no real training, you know, the Hani Hanjour, who supposedly piloted a 757 into the Pentagon, had just a few weeks earlier had been turned down for renting a Cessna 150 because he just wasn't proficient. He couldn't really fly the thing. And so explain to me how four sets of these incompetent hijackers can take over four separate commercial airliners and turn off their transponders at almost the same moment.
Well, that, you know, again, as a pilot, that is impossible. And I'll go a step further. You know, I am rated in a Cessna 172, 150, 182, and I can go on up the line to twin-engine aircraft.
Uh-huh. But, are you instrument rated?
Yes. Actually, no, I'm not. I was close to getting an instrument rating, and I, you know, I've got the time in for an instrument rating. But I quit flying a few years ago and never took the test. So as far as can I do it, yes. As far as have I got the specific rating for it, no.
So in other words, you're exactly like John F. Kennedy Jr. You can do it. You know how to do
well,
it. You can do it. You just didn't have the paperwork.
Well, if an airplane is IFR certified, in other words, if it's got the IFR equipment in
uh-huh.
it, okay, yeah, I know how to operate the IFR equipment. And, you know, it's not rocket science to do if you have the training to do it.
That's true.
Yeah, all it is a matter of taking the test, which I never did. But, yes, I have the hours, and, yes, I have the hours in to do so. So, anyway, yes, it's like John Kennedy. And as far as on that subject of JFK Jr., they reported that he had 150 hours, I believe, of flight time. Is that correct?
Right.
And in Piper Saratoga, that was instrument certified.
That's right. In fact, I've seen a picture of him carrying his IFR booklet under his arm.
Mm-hmm. So the weather conditions of that day, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but the weather conditions of that day, and I've done the research on it, Jim, was they were talking about, I believe, that the weather was, you know, it was hazy. All right. They were VFR conditions. The excuses
exactly.
that they gave for him losing control of that airplane going down are nonsense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's probably a whole different show.
Right.
Because I can tell you, I do have to tell you this because you may not be aware of this. What do you make of this? The official NTSB accident report on John F. Kennedy's plane shows the fuel switch was turned off.
Right. All right. Let's hold that for a break, and I'll comment on that when we come back.
Okay.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, with my special guest, Jim Marr. Stick with me. It's republicbroadcasting.org. See you in three.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog of The American Awakening. We got a short segment coming up here. Jim, I'm going to answer your question as far as a fuel valve on the Piper Saratoga. They have left wing, right wing, and off. And you're either, if you're flying, you're either on the left wing with fuel, you're on the right wing with fuel, but you're never off.
Never.
Right.
Never. If you go to off, then it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to have power.
Right.
Yeah, and you mentioned that every flight up until that last one, John F. Kennedy Jr. had always flown with a flight instructor. And I submit to you that the strange wait at the airport while night was coming on fast, even though it was still VFR, was probably while he waited for a flight instructor. And I submit that somebody showed up and probably occupied the seat that was missing from the wreckage.
Well, if indeed he called in and was waiting for a flight instructor, the truth of the matter is that if he's just calling into a flight center for a flight instructor, he wouldn't know who
he wouldn't know who's showing up. Yeah, somebody shows up and says, "Hey, I'm your guy." He says, "Okay," and off they go.
Right. He's not going to look at his logbooks to verify it.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's so. Again, you have to put that in a broader context. The day, the Saturday that everybody learned his plane was missing. I personally saw an interview with a New York Times reporter who had been following John Jr. And he made the statement that John Jr. had decided it was time for him to enter politics. And here's a very critical statement. He said he had touched bases with political leaders, which means that at certain levels they knew what he was planning to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, chances are he would have entered and run for senator from New York, which would have put him head-to-head against Hillary Clinton. And I don't think you and I both know who would have won that one.
Well, it would have been a landslide.
Exactly. So there you go. Now you've got a motive for getting rid of him.
Well, you know, I mean, if you can take it further down the rat hole, the rabbit hole. Well, it
maybe
depends on which. Yeah, you can take it down the rat hole as well. And you know, you look at JFK's assassination, ironically, which I'm looking at an email right here I just got from a listener regarding that. And then also, you know, Robert Kennedy, when he threw his hat in the ring for presidency, he was assassinated. Now you've got a guy, and you know, the whole nation, you know as well as I do, we're close to the same age, Jim, that the nation, part of the nation died on the day JFK was assassinated.
That's absolutely true. This country's gone downhill ever since, whether pro, con, conspiracy, no conspiracy, anyone who's taken a look at it agrees.
Right, and then you had a hope a few years later in the form of Robert Kennedy. And they assassinated him. And then, you know, nigh on 40 years later, you have another possible hope. You know, and people have asked JFK Jr. on several occasions if he, you know, ever thought about running for the presidency. And, you know, you know as well as I do, had that happened, that this would, I mean, it would have been it would be so one-sided that it would be an embarrassment to Hillary Clinton.
That's true. Exactly. Mm. And Hillary Clinton, again, to put things into context, was the first American First Lady to attend those secretive Bilderberg meetings, where you've got the movers and shapers and corporate leaders of the world that meet once a year to decide what they're going to do. And this was in 1992. And interestingly enough, she didn't just attend the meeting. She was at the door greeting people as they came in, which is a time-honored method of introducing their proteges to the membership.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the New World Order all poised to get her in as Senator of New York, and all of a sudden they get word that John Kennedy Jr. might run, and then, of course, his plane disappears.
Well, like so many things, Jim, it reeks and stinks to high heaven.
Exactly.
I was going to mention something to you. I've got so many things here.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm all over the map. We were starting off on one thing and got to something else.
You're right. I mean, there's so many different directions that we can go with that.
But it all ties together, doesn't it?
It does. But the problem is that, you know, these shows that we do, you know, time is an element here. I just one quick thing before we go back to this. I want to read a quick email to you,
okay,
which I thought, you know, might tie in, because remember, I was on your website looking around. I thought, well, boy, this guy's just an encyclopedia.
No, I'm all over the map.
Yeah, it says, Michael, I was listening to Alex Jones interviewing St. John Hunt. I think someone needs to interview the guy who did the videos JFK, the Bush Connection, and JFK 2. His name eludes me. Something doesn't seem right with a deathbed confession of E. Howard Hunt. The fact that Bush is left out of the whole connection doesn't seem right and makes me wonder if Alex felt the same way when he was asking St. John if he had mentioned Bush. Do you want to comment on that at all? What is your take on that?
Well, I've seen transcripts of St. John's reporting, and of course he is reporting it as a deathbed confession of E. Howard Hunt, but keep in mind E. Howard Hunt had been station chief in the CIA, and his whole life had been devoted to secrecy and misinformation, disinformation. So even though it is amazingly interesting that E. Howard Hunt, who himself has been implicated in the Kennedy assassination, would actually come out and start naming some names. And I think but you have to take it all with a grain of salt. and a little bit of caution. But the main thing to keep in mind is that here was a major player who, as a deathbed confession, most certainly stated that Kennedy's death was the result of a conspiracy involving people at high levels in the U.S. government.
Right, and also I'd heard, I think I saw a video, or it was an article or something, I don't even recall now, on Lyndon Johnson's mistress saying that he was implicated in it. We got to go to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. It'll be a long segment coming up, Jim, so we'll have some time here. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Stick with us. We'll be back in 3 at republicbroadcasting.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, if you have a question or comment for my special guest, Jim Mars. Jim, okay, we were on the subject, I believe we went off on Lyndon Johnson and his mistress for a moment.
That's right, if you'd like to, let me tell you about his mistress, Madeline Brown, because I knew her quite well and spoke with her on many different occasions.
Did you?
Yeah. First off, when I first heard about her, of course, my first question was, is this legitimate?
Mm-hmm.
I immediately went to, and this was years ago, and I went to some of the old reporters who I had worked with starting in the 60s, who had been there before I was and had covered Johnson on the campaign trail, and they all winked and nodded and said, oh, yeah, Madam Brown. It was an open secret. Everyone knew that she was Johnson's squeeze.
Did Johnson's wife know?
probably not. Or if she did, you know, when you get to that level, you know, look at Bill and Hillary and look at all of them. They all play their games, and they operate under different rules than the rest of us poor sheeple. But let me tell you about Madeline Brown, because she was a fascinating person. First off, she was not just some bimbo. She was an educated and very good-looking lady. Of course, I only knew her in her later years, but I've seen pictures of her as a young woman, and she was quite striking.
Mm-hmm.
And she, not only that, but back in the 50s, when most women were in the kitchen, she was a woman executive working for one of the biggest ad agencies in Dallas. And so she here was a beautiful, competent woman executive, and she was drawn to Johnson's power and his magnetism, and so they carried on for a while. She had a son named Stephen, who she and Stephen claimed was the illegitimate son of Lyndon Johnson. And I got to tell you, Michael, if there was any, if you stood Stephen in a crowd of men and said, who do you think is Lyndon Johnson's son? You'd immediately picked him. He was tall, gangly, great big hands, big ears, okay? I mean, he just, you know, he obviously had those attributes of Lyndon Johnson. So, but when Lyndon Johnson died, I have seen the letters from his attorneys to Madeline saying, don't worry, the financial arrangements will continue. Because apparently Johnson was keeping her up. And when, as he did, she stayed quiet. She didn't go public and tell all of this. But what happened was, you asked, did Lady Bird know? Apparently Lady Bird found out. Now she's probably going over the books and saying, what's all this money going for? And she found out it was going to Madeline Brown, because all of a sudden the money stopped. And when the money stopped, that put Madeline in a kind of a tight position. And so... excuse me. That's when she went public and began to tell about her relationship with Lyndon. Now, about this same time, her son Stephen filed a civil lawsuit against the Johnson estate, saying that as an illegitimate offspring, he was entitled to a portion of the Johnson estate. Now, Stephen had a strange, well, not strange, but an unusual blood disease, which, interestingly enough, ran in Johnson's family. This was the same thing his grandmother died from. And he was not well at all. And so at the time he filed his suit, he got sicker. They put him in Parkland Hospital, and he disappeared.
Really? Okay?
And I would never forget, Madeline was calling everybody, including me, and she was just frantic. What has happened to my son? And nobody knew where he was or what had happened. Now, while he's disappeared, his civil suit is dropped for lack of prosecution because he wasn't there. A few months later, guess where he turns up? Bethesda Naval Hospital in Washington. And he's even sicker. But they got him moved down to Parkland. But it was just 2 or 3 months later he died. So that was the story of that. And, of course, at that point, Madeline was just telling anyone who would listen everything she knew.
Now, this is what timeline was this, Jim? Was it in the 2000s?
No, this would have been in the early 90s.
Okay.
Early to mid 90s.
Okay.
And of course, she told me right off the bat of attending a gathering at Clint Murchison's house the night before the Kennedy assassination there in Dallas. And she said that Richard Nixon was there, J. Edgar Hoover was there, and the Texas oil men. And she said Lyndon got there, but he was kind of running late. And she said all the men went off into another room, left all the women behind, which is pretty much the tradition, and said when they came out, Johnson was just in a state. And he told her, he said, well, those G.D. Kennedys will never bother me again after tomorrow.
Now, she told you that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Straight from her lips.
Okay.
Okay? And then later, she just didn't even want to believe that. And of course, the next day was the assassination, and it really preyed on her. And so she said the next time she managed to get together with Johnson was like about New Year's Eve of 63, 64. And she said, Lyndon says, you know, this is terrible. And he says, and people are talking and they're saying you had something to do with this. And he just went into a towering rage. And he says, oh, you know, he did it. It was the CIA and the oil guys, you know. And then he kind of caught himself and he said, listen, I said too much. And said, if you ever breathe a word of this, you know, you'll just disappear. Nobody will ever see you again.
Right. So that would mean that, you know, he's telling her, I've told you too much. So that in itself proves that he was implicated in it at some level.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Well, and that only stands to reason, Michael, because why would anybody, other than the proverbial lone nut, which we both know is not the case, why would anybody kill the president unless they had absolute assurance that his successor wouldn't come after him?
Oh, it makes sense to me. Yeah. And now, at that particular point in time, as long as we're on this
subject.
Well,
just a minute. There's another point I want to make.
All right.
You may be heading here, is the involvement of George Herbert.
There
Walker
you Bush. Go. You're a step ahead of me.
Okay. Now. But see, again, you have to understand the times. In 1963, there were no Republicans in Texas. Texas was part of the old Solid South, Yellow Dog Democrats, okay?
Well, they were all up in Kennebunkport, weren't they?
Exactly, but
yeah.
See, that's my point. In fact, the whole thing got broken in 1962 because Johnson, when he ran for president or vice president with Kennedy in 60, he came down and ran through the Texas legislature a piece of law that is now known as the Johnson Law. And that allowed him to run for vice president on the Kennedy-Johnson ticket as a somewhat liberal Democrat, while still being able to run for senator as a conservative Democrat from Texas. And he was hedging his bets. But when he got elected vice president, of course, then that left his seat open in the Senate, and 72 candidates filed for that seat. 71 of them were Democrats. And it so split up the ticket that the one Republican, a school teacher named John Tower, got elected to the Senate from Texas, the first Republican in Congress from Texas since the Civil War. And it was just a huge shock to everybody in Texas, but that broke the mold, and from that point on, Texas became a two-party state, and very quickly, a lot of the former Democrats, including John Connally, switched over and said, well, actually, I'm a Republican. But in 1963, everybody was still a Democrat, and that's why George Herbert Walker Bush, who was supposedly just a Texas oil man, but his father was the powerhouse, Prescott Bush, and Prescott Bush was a big, powerful senator and a Republican from Connecticut. In fact, it was his father, Prescott Bush, that helped create the CIA. And I know for a fact that George Herbert Walker Bush, while probably not a employee, you know, he wasn't on the employment list, but nevertheless, he had been working very closely with the CIA, because I'm still in touch with a black ops pilot who had flown arms and ammunition for the Bay of Pigs invasion. That was 1961.
Right.
And he said that they were using the cover of Zapata Drilling of Midland, Odessa.
That was going to be my next statement out of my mouth.
Yeah, was George Bush's oil company.
Mm-hmm.
And that explains the thing that always puzzled me for a while, which was in 1975, our unelected president, Gerald Ford, why does he suddenly reach down and pull some Texas oil man off the street, George Bush, and put him as head of the CIA?
Interesting. Well, you know, we got a caller on the line, and I knew this guy was going to call in because he just he wrote an article that's hit the websites all over the world about George H.W. Bush.
Okay.
Let's bring him up for a minute. You want to?
Sure.
All right.
I may have a little bit of information he'd like to hear.
Okay, great. Let's go to Don in Ohio. Don, you're on with Michael and Jim.
Hello, Michael, and hello, Jim. Jim, I have tried reaching you without success via email numerous times, and I know you're a busy man, so...
Well, yeah, and I travel a lot, too.
Yes, I want to commend your work. I'm a avid reader of your work and a frequent visitor to your site as well.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
let me give you just some scuttlebutt, and I stress that this is just a story I was told, but I have no reason to disbelieve it.
Uh-huh.
I met a fellow out in California who, back in the 1963, was like 14 or 15 years old. His father owned a string of restaurants, I believe it was, that stretched through North and East Texas. And his father was a big, powerful Democrat and had contributed lots of money to the Democratic Party at that time. And on Thursday, before the Kennedy assassination, that would have been November the 21st, 63, he took his son, Ben, to Dallas to see the president. And they were staying in the Adolphus Hotel, which was the hotel at the time. And so this guy, Ben, tells me that late that night, well, not late, but about 10 o'clock, he was supposed to be in bed, but he was all geared up and excited about seeing the president. And so he got up, and he decided he was going to go and up on the roof and look at the lights of the town, which he had done before. And he specifically mentioned he wanted to see the Flying Red Horse. Well, you know, that Flying Red Horse over the Magnolia Building has been taken down for years, and there's tells me the guy knows what he's talking about. So he said about 10 o'clock at night, and he thought he was probably about the 15th floor of the Adolphus Hotel the night before the Kennedy assassination. He's walking down the hall, and he mentioned that the doorways were recessed back from the hallway in little alcoves, which is true because I was in that hotel many times. Again, another tidbit that tells me he's probably telling the truth. And he saw two men standing there talking quietly with each other. And as he got up to them, he recognized one of them as George Herbert Walker Bush because he had met Bush. And he said the other man, he knew who that was, too, and it was Richard Nixon. And that they were standing there talking in the hallway. And when he got up there, Bush said, "Oh, hey, Benji, you know, you here with your father?" And he said, "Yes." And he said Nixon was kind of glowering at him, kind of like, "Who's this?" And Bush said, "Oh, it's okay. It's old so-and-so's son." And so Nixon lightened up. And, of course, the kid, he just kind of went on his way. But he told me that in all sincerity, and he still remembers that. And he didn't ask for any of this to get out of you. He wasn't looking for money or anything else. And if he's telling the truth, then we've got Bush and Nixon conversing in the Adolphus Hotel in Dallas the night before the assassination.
Wow.
Well, that kind of goes along with the information that came out. And, you know, there's a lot of phony FBI reports about who interviewed who and who
right.
was working for the CIA.
Right.
You recall James Parrott, who was a supposed University of Houston student.
Oh, I know James Parrott, and I know that whole story. And, you know, for those listening that don't know what he's talking about, there was a young fellow named James Parrott who was big in the Young Republicans, trying to get the Republican Party going in Texas. And as it turned out then, he was actually kind of a political enemy of the Bushes, who were trying to gain control over the fledgling Republican Party in Texas. And just prior to the assassination of President Kennedy, George Herbert Walker Bush files with the FBI and tells him James Parrott is part of a plot to kill the president, and actually got him arrested. And of course, then they found out there wasn't anything to it, and they let him go. But isn't that a fascinating story?
But then he supposedly made this call about an hour and a half, 2 hours after the actual assassination, claiming that the FBI could get some information from two women who worked for the Republican Party headquarters in Dallas,
right,
or Houston, I think it was. But
well, he was just making his moves to try to gain complete domination over the fledgling Republican Party here in Texas.
Yeah, and I wrote recently about Otto Skorzeny's revelations of his involvement in the CIA since World War II. In fact, if you haven't read my article, please go to the Idaho Observer and read that, or rent.
Oh, you know, that's amazing, because I think I just copied all that down just last night.
Huh.
I haven't had a chance to go through and read the whole thing, but I've got it saved away so I can go to it.
Well,
so you're the author of that, right?
Yes, I am.
Don Egger or something like that.
Nikoloff. Right.
Okay.
All right.
Pretty amazing. Let me ask you, do you put a lot of countenance in this idea that Skorzeny did not die in the 70s, as is reported, but lived on?
Well, I've basically on my own research and following the clues that Eric Berman left out there for us. With his Bush Connection book. I do not subscribe to the story that he died in 1975. In fact, I know his alias, and I can also demonstrate that he died on December 31st, 1999. In West Palm Beach, Florida.
Well, and this is an important part of the puzzle, because when you go back and realize that Prescott Bush was actually prosecuted by the federal government in late 1942 for being nothing but a financial front man for Hitler and the Nazis, and then you read about Operation Paperclip, all of a sudden we find out who's really running everything.
Well, yeah. I go into quite a bit of detail in that article. So, you know, after you read it, I've connected dots.
Great.
That well, have been around for over 100 years.
Try to send me an email via my website, because I would like to get in touch with you.
I can set you guys up.
Do that, Michael, if you would.
I will.
Jim, okay. I'm honored. I'm going to leave the line open for some other callers, and I look forward to talking to you.
Well, before you go, are you still there?
Yes.
Let me ask you, how much credence do you put in the idea that George Herbert Walker Bush may have actually even been in Dealey Plaza at the time of the assassination?
100%.
Okay.
In fact, I've got a picture that was taken off of, it was forwarded to me via someone on Victor Martinez's stream list.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be your next door neighbor on that list. For whatever reason, he took my name off. But I was your left door neighbor. the information that came through a picture that was taken off of a History Channel documentary that was pulled.
Is this the one with the figure standing in front of the Texas School Book Depository?
No. Oh, well, that's one of the pictures. This is the...
Gentlemen, I got to hold you over, Don. You can explain that. We got to take a break. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming at you live from Round Rock, Texas. And we're not talking about the book that you need to buy, Terror Conspiracy. We'll be back in three. Stick with us, republicbroadcasting.org.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you, from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, The right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We're back. Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, with my special guest, Jim Mars. You need to go into Jim's website, www.jimmars.com, and that's with two R's, and take a look at that book, The Terror Conspiracy, that we're not talking about right now, guys, but we are going to talk about it, I promise you. Don, continue with that thought.
Well, Nigel Turner produced a film that was shown on the History Channel. And there was a still taken of a smoky picture. It was after the firing of two guns. And one of the outlines is definitely George Herbert Walker Bush. It's a very obscure photo. I've tried to send it to people who have PCs, and it doesn't show up on a PC screen. Hmm. But it does on a Macintosh. And you can see the hairline, the jawline, and it coincides with Otto Skorzeny's confession that he was in the background holding a camera several paces behind George Herbert Walker Bush. He also implicates Reinhard Galen and Dr. Joseph Mengele as,
right,
as shooters that were stationed in various areas. Actually, he claimed, and this is really difficult to conceptualize or visualize, but evidently, according to his statement, Mengele was in a sewer firing from underneath the vehicle.
Well, let me tell you about the sewer. It's not really a sewer, it's a storm drain.
Or, well, yeah.
And I've actually stood down in that thing, and there's, you know, these storm drains, you have these big wide slits, openings in the curb, and it was right there at the point of the fatal headshot. And I've stood in that storm drain, and you could actually stand up in there. Of course, I'm kind of a short guy, but you could stand in there, and from that slit to the center of the street is like, what, 5 feet, 6 feet? I mean, it's a pistol shot. And
yeah.
I don't say much about that because one of the early researchers, Penn Jones, started talking about a shot from the storm drain, and, of course, they turned it into a shot from the sewer, and they just, you know, ridiculed him all over the place. But there is some tantalizing information that there were other shots, and that's a very possible location.
Mm-hmm. You were speaking about the JFK Jr. assassination, and there was a photo on the web, I don't know if you saw this or heard about it, showing 41 and 43 standing at the Essex County Airport watching the plane take off.
Oh, too much. But you know what? That would not surprise me. That's the way those people operate.
Well, let me insert something here, guys, okay? I heard a rumor. And I don't know how true it is, but now, you know, as long as I got you on the line here, Jim, is there any truth to the rumor that George Bush Jr. happened to disappear for 3 days surrounding the JFK Jr. assassination?
You know, I've heard that too, but I can't verify that. But what I can tell you, what I always thought, and this was reported here in Texas, but I don't think it went anywhere, but right after George Jr. got elected in November of 2000, well, he didn't get elected, he got appointed by his father's PAC Supreme Court. But right after he took that election, he had a boat down on a dock in Austin, and his boat blew up. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
I wonder if they were just sending him a message or if it was maybe somebody trying to strike a blow for freedom. I don't know what all that was, but it got reported in Texas, but it didn't go anywhere else.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a break coming up to the top of the hour. Don, have you got anything else?
Well, I just I look forward to talking.
I was going to say you guys could spend hours and hours here, and I at some point in time I'm going to get Jim back to the terror conspiracy.
Right.
Okay. So okay. We're going to take a break at the top of the hour. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest Jim Mars. Going to talk about the book The Terror Conspiracy. So stick with us. We'll be back in three at republicbroadcasting.org and 12180 shortwave. It's getting better.
I'm not ready to make.
It's true.